Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Tuesday, January 29th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Thanks for having me on this frigid day.
Andrew's like burning iPhone 4s or something just for heat. Running like every Mac Pro in the immediate area just to take the edge off. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, it's pretty darn cold in London too.
Oh, really? Okay.
And you know how us Brits like to discuss the weather.
I do indeed. Another thing we need to discuss though today in particular is bugs, because there's a pretty serious one going around right now. And Charlotte, you've written a bunch about this, so I'm going to have you go ahead and take us through this from the beginning.
Yeah, so this is a very significant bug, because what we found basically is, this is on group FaceTime, and users who make a call, then if you add yourself, that then puts the person who you meant to call's mic live, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And you end up can hear and or see, I'll explain the see bit in a minute, the person who is the recipient of your call before they have accepted your call and without them knowing. Mm-hmm. Their video can also go live if they press the power button, I believe, or the volume controls to reject the call. Mm-hmm. So this is pretty significant. People are able to basically hot mic another person's iPhone using group FaceTime without them knowing.
Well, they could.
Right.
This was discovered about a week ago, it sounds like.
Well, so we'll get to that bit of the saga in a minute. There's a note on the Apple system status website. I wrote my story at 6:35 a.m. Eastern, and mm-hmm. at that point the Apple system status said they had taken group FaceTime offline.
Okay.
Because of the wide-ranging coverage of
because
this bug.
Of this. Yeah. So This means somebody could be listening to you without your knowledge, because at that point the phone's ringing.
While the phone is ringing, yes.
Yeah. So it's not... It's not secret because your phone is ringing. So you can tell that somebody's trying to reach you. But generally, they're not able to hear anything until you actually answer the phone. And
yeah, so
for people who don't remember how telephones work,
think of like a really basic, embarrassing scenario mm-hmm. where this happened and you're going, oh, my God, like Andrew calls. I'm calling you. You're with Andrew. And you go, oh, my God, I can't believe Charlotte's calling. I really don't want to talk to Charlotte.
Or perhaps you're in the middle of something else that's going on, well, and somebody calls you.
No comment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a bunch of scenarios where you wouldn't want this, your phone to basically be a bug.
Live microphone. Yeah.
Right. Or indeed a live video, which is also possible.
Well, until this morning, because Apple's status page, there is no more group FaceTime at the moment.
At the moment, no. And it's kind of ironic that this feature that everyone really wanted, that everyone was so excited when it finally arrived.
Because it had been promised to us ages ago.
Was it 12.1.1 or 0.2?
0.2.
0.2, I think.
Yeah. So when it arrived then, everyone was really excited. Mm-hmm. And now it's turned into a bit of a nightmare.
Well, and part of the reason I think people were excited is because it was promised as an iOS 12 feature, and then it didn't come and didn't come and didn't come. So it's been since, September, people have been waiting for group FaceTime because we were told it was part of iOS 12. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's 0.1. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. I thought it was 0.1. And then the other element to this, Mac Rumors found, it was 9to5 Mac, I think, who originally found this bug, mm-hmm. and a bunch of other places have verified it. I obviously checked the system status update as well. So that's all checked out. And then Mac Rumors had a look and found that a Twitter user seems to have tried to contact Apple support and Tim Cook about a week ago about this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's a hard one to know. Look, we know it takes time to check out these things.
Sure.
It looks like he didn't even get a response. It doesn't look great, does it, on Apple's part? It looks pretty... I think it just adds to the embarrassment of this incident.
And part of that is because nothing came back publicly from Apple about this, or at least according to the person who discovered it, nobody ever got back to them about it. And, you know, for all we know, they went off and worked on it instead of coming back and admitting anything. I don't know. So that's, at this point, as spectators, it doesn't look good.
This is a company. I linked a really good, I did a link teaser today to a really good op-ed, I thought, from Ben Lovejoy at 9to5Max, who's saying, look, just because Apple has made a really strong privacy stance doesn't mean it gets a pass on this stuff.
Right.
And I think that is right. This is really embarrassing. And it's really serious.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of there's been a whole host of issues in iOS 12, and this is just the latest one, isn't it?
Yeah, 12 has had some interesting stuff. Like, Andrew, you've written about a few things.
I think I did. None that really come to mind, though.
Yeah, the first couple things I think of are basic functionality, like people having trouble receiving and making phone calls, and I think there was a Wi-Fi issue.
Yes.
There was all the cellular issues. The Wi-Fi got taken out at one point, and Sprint have had to issue a warning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, and I had a problem where my cellular data wouldn't work on one of the iOS 12 updates, and I had to re-download iOS 12 from iTunes, and that fixed it. But it was really annoying.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So I completely understand. because they've had that issue before where it screwed up phone calls. And I know because Jeff Gamet had that issue. And he and I were on the phone trying to sort it out. I think we had like a Skype call or something because he couldn't do anything else. And trying to figure out what he could do to troubleshoot his phone in the meantime, and trying to get it resolved in the short term. So... we've done some different... There's been a few times where something odd has happened with an iOS update like that. So, I can't imagine this. I mean, this is super... I would be super frustrated if this were... Like, if I were a person directly related to working on this.
Right. I think there's also a broad issue. I think kind of people are now... going to be aware of this FaceTime issue. They've obviously taken group FaceTime off. I think there's a slightly longer, a broader issue that we might, I mean, maybe we don't have the scope to touch on it in a daily podcast, but I think there's an issue whereby kind of stuff is going wrong for Apple. And I know people always want to have a pop at Apple anyway because it's kind of taking the champion down.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. But I think it hasn't been a good couple of months for Apple in a lot of ways. You know, we've had the revenue call. We've had all the iOS 12 issues. We've now got this major FaceTime security flaw. It's kind of chipping away at this perception of Apple as the perfect company, that particularly Steve Jobs was so obsessed with achieving perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to have been chipped away at in recent months. Am I being unfair? Am I being too harsh?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so, because there's been enough, like... In reality, this is probably a small issue in that, like, from a technical perspective, having something like this and having to fix something like this doesn't seem, now again, I'm not an engineer, but this doesn't seem like something that would be a giant thing where there's going to have to be a bunch of code written or a bunch of it rewritten in order to turn this back into a thing that normally works.
And also, let's be fair, it's a pretty unlikely sequence of things to do to
right.
trigger it. You have to add yourself to a group FaceTime call, which
right.
is a pretty unlikely thing to do.
Yeah. And it's, but. So there's a certain, right. But you know, we saw a bunch with, High Sierra, I think was the one that had the really rough rollout with, if you just hit return enough times, you don't need the password to log into the computer.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was a good one. We've seen a few things like this where something has ended up out in the world, and, you know, on the one hand, like, it's bad news that these things are getting exposed, but on the other hand, I wonder how long it would have taken in the olden days, because there weren't a whole lot of people using macOS or iOS, you know, initially. So on the one hand, it feels like, you know, these are things that are being surfaced because there's a lot of people using them and using them in interesting ways that, you know, maybe the test labs just aren't getting to. And, you know, I'm betting that until the end of days, adding yourself to an existing group FaceTime call is going to be one of the test cases from now on. I think there's a certain amount of other stuff sort of going on with these that that we, like I said before, like, we just may not be seeing, you know, but certainly as a spectator, it is not a good look for Apple. And, you know, on the one hand, it's good to see that, like, it's good to see that action's being taken, because it seems like as soon as this became a big deal, Apple pulled it. And just like they've done with the system updates that gave people trouble in the past and things like that, like, when it seems like it's a big enough deal, then Apple does take action, and that action tends to be swift. But I think part of the issue is what turns something into a big enough deal. And as of right now, for example, it certainly does not look like the stage light issue with some of the MacBook displays is something that Apple is really digging into and taking swift action on at the moment. So we've seen them sort of do it properly and then kind of wondered at what they were actually doing also. So it kind of depends, I think.
This is a funny comparison. A few years ago, in the UK, as you know, the kind of the Chancellor of the Exchequer in our country reads out the budget, and there was one year where basically everything the Chancellor, who was George Osborne at the time, announced in that budget went wrong. Like, people, like, every tax, every spending measure, everything just went wrong, and it became known as the Omni Shambles budget. And iOS 12 seems to me to be the Omnishambles operating system.
A little bit.
There's just a constant flow of things going wrong.
Yeah, particularly with 12.
And they're not nothing. These are serious things that bother users.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And as we hear more about that, I'm certain we will cover all of those things here at Mac Observer. And particularly on daily observations, because you know how Andrew and I like to talk about security problems. And I want to tell you about our sponsor today. Our sponsor today is Capterra. Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. There are over 700,000 reviews of products from real software users. And with Capterra, you can discover everything you need in over 700 specific categories so that you can make an informed decision about a new piece of software. And this is everything from great big product categories like project management down to something very, very specific like yoga studio management software. So no matter what kind of software it is that you're looking for, Capterra makes it really easy to discover the right solution and to do so quickly. So if you visit capterra.com/TDO, for free today, you can find the right tools to make 2019 the year for your business. That's CAPTERRA.com/TDO. Now, the other topic I wanted to discuss today is an interesting thing. We're going to talk about an idea a little bit, and that is the U.S. and the U.S.'s continuing to deteriorate relationship with Huawei. Charlotte, you actually have one thing on this, and Andrew, I know you've written a little bit about it as well.
Mm-hmm. I think we're up to chapter 957 of USA versus Huawei.
Something like that, yeah.
Or have I lost track, Andrew? Are we up to 9:58 now?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Okay, so today, the US Justice Department unsealed 13 charges against Huawei and its CFO, Meng Wanzhou.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty serious stuff. It's talking about trying to bypass sanctions against Iran. It's talking about obstructing criminal investigations. I mean, to give you an idea of how serious the US is taking this, you've had the acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker pass comment. You've had the head of the FBI mm-hmm. make comments. You've Christopher Wray. You've had two of your cabinet secretaries, Wilbur Ross and Christian Nielsen, make comments. Like, this is at the top of the US government's inbox.
Yes. And part of what is interesting about this, I think, is that we've seen the, I believe it was Canada that had picked up the CEO.
CFO
based on these charges. And that's not usually a thing that happens if it's just like, we think this company might be doing something shady. That's generally not how those things happen, at least in my experience. You know, usually this is a thing that just sort of goes on in court for a while. And, you know, like, no executive from Samsung was ever like picked up and had charges against them just because they were, you know, in court against Apple or anything like that. So it's been kind of interesting to watch this continue to evolve. Now, Andrew, you've written some stuff about this as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this whole thing with Huawei started, I think, in the intelligence community because they were worried that the U.S. was worried that Huawei was maybe a little too close to the Chinese military mm-hmm. because the CEO used to be part of the military. And they okay. were worried that maybe Huawei was baking some kind of malware or rootkits into its operating system, into its phones.
Mm-hmm.
And with this one, this latest thing, there were some internal emails that the New York Times writes these emails describe a plot to steal testing equipment from T-Mobile.
Oh, yeah, that yes. sounds pretty serious.
And they also had, there was another case with T-Mobile, I think it might have been last year, where Huawei was found guilty, mm-hmm. May 2017. So T-Mobile accused Huawei of stealing some robotics technology that it used to diagnose quality control issues in cell phones.
Yeah, that sounds. And then they uncovered this plot to continue to steal T-Mobile equipment, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it sounds like they totally learned their lesson last May about doing this, and it was apparently try harder and not just maybe don't do that. So, I can see where this might be. I don't think we've heard the last of this, I guess, is what I'm trying to say on this in particular, because it doesn't seem like Huawei is reforming. You know, we're not hearing anything about how they're going to change their ways or anything like that. So I don't anticipate this becoming, I don't anticipate this being quiet and going away, I guess.
I mean, Huawei, it's the lawyers representing Meng Wanzhou have described her kind of as a pawn in U.S.-China relations. They're kind of trying to portray her as the victim.
Of course.
Now, of course, look, if you're a lawyer and it's your job to defend that, you know, fair enough. I get it. But this is not a company that's going to go quietly. This is a kind of, not even a proxy war, this is the US-China trade war played out
mm-hmm.
kind of in court across the US and Canada.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just Huawei, it's just China in general. I mean, correct. China, for a long time, has had a reputation of being a copycat and stealing intellectual property and mm-hmm. then coming out with their own knockoffs, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've covered these things on TMO. I've done, so I think it was, Xiaomi did some air buds or something that look like AirPods.
Yes, the Air Dot. Yes.
Air Dot, that's it. You know, these things that look are just so close to the line that it's a joke how simple they are. So obviously this is all part of the issue, but there seems to be something particular with Huawei, which probably goes back to what Andrew was saying about their connections with the kind of Chinese state infrastructure.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this continues to evolve. Given, again, as a spectator, given what we know so far, because we don't have access to all of the information here, but I think there's, I don't think we've heard the last of this particular skirmish. And I think that it's going to continue. How good do you think it looks for Huawei right now, Andrew?
Not good. I mean,
that's where I'm at. It's like not very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm betting, I'm putting a lot of money on the bet that they're probably going to be found guilty again of something, maybe more than one thing.
At least one something, possibly several somethings. Yeah, I could see that. So, and I think watching this evolve is going to be interesting in the current political climate, in the current global climate, you know, as far as international relations and all this kind of stuff. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. So,
but presumably one of the next steps is that Huawei CFO is extradited to the USA and appears in court.
One would think.
You would assume that Canada will eventually consent to the extradition.
Yeah, I would think so. And
the US, because we know the US Justice Department is preparing an extradition bid.
And has an extradition agreement with Canada, so it's possible. So when they ask, like, Canada will probably say okay. And I think that's where things are going to get interesting, is once this stuff starts coming out in court, if they are able to bring this CFO to court, and some of that stuff starts becoming public, I think that's when it's going to get interesting. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and call it for today. As you know, if anything interesting happens on either of these fronts, we will tell you more about it here. And Charlotte, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Andrew, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I've been your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.